The self disappears, but no other self appears to occupy the empty space it has left. No God, but rather the divine. No faith, but rather the primordial feeling that sustains all faith, all hope. Peace in the crater of the volcano, the reconciliation of man, what remains of man, with total presence.
Sanyo ex vis commander Pew.
36 I'm wondering if I've ever appreciated now, if I've ever truly appreciated now, if ever I have really and truly appreciated now, and I'm wondering how to appreciate now. My movie is called Groove. It happens at 5:10, so I have 1 hour and 55 minutes to get to the Kendall Square Cinema. I haven't been on the subway since Wednesday night. What's today? July 22nd. Good. I'm going to bring my camera, and I'm going to bring an extra blank tape. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll stick with what I've got. It'll limit me, and that might be good. I'm going to bring a vial of acid, LSD, that is. I'm going to bring 3 pens in my book bag. And I don't know what happens next. But I've never been comfortable with now. Or I haven't been comfortable with now in a long time. And I think that in order to be, in order to be comfortable with myself, I have to be comfortable with my surroundings and with what is occurring to me and to others and between me and others. I have to try. I've been so resistant to now, to what I despise about it, that I usually end up unhappy and alone because I'm unable to assimilate. And it's not even so much assimilating as it is just, I don't know, not constantly damning those around me. We're not constantly being in aspiration toward the angelic. I'm going to put this off for 1 minute while I close up, check my mail, and step outside, and then I'm going to resume. Very cool, I paused indoors just as the first set of this tape is ending. Walking along Newman Road. Feeling like what I need to do is escape Malden as quickly as possible. Sucky week in some ways. It really fell apart the last couple of days. I couldn't find the story for Seneca 42, the America story. My ears got blocked. Or they were. I felt like they just got worse. They're better now. I'm still pretty congested. I've been physically ailing all summer. I have a cavity, maybe more. Still in my rash. It's cold. It It's been hanging on for so long. I was aggravated by traveling. But I feel like I have to function today. I feel like nearly 3 days of being at home is just as much as I can take. Cemetery, Valrock Cemetery. I haven't seen the spirits in days. I love spirits. Well, I'm trying to recover from low points, series of low points. I keep recovering from low points. Changes, health changes, home changes, job changes. Marriage's good, it just only suffers through my neglect. So I go back to work on the 24th, which is Monday. Days off for a while. Before again needing a week off. And after that, I don't anticipate any other time. I don't really know what happens. I know this summer sucked. Summer often sucks for me. Assimilate in any way that sucks. I'm not going to do assimilate in any way that sucks. I mean, if I'm not who I am, or if I'm not who I become, then what's the fucking point, really? What's the point you're on? I think it's to find a way to the right place, the right people, doing the right thing. I've made lots of fucking concessions. Now I just want to be about this walk, recording these thoughts in Canal Street now, with the sound of a jackhammer in the distance. The new building at 185, now 195 Canal Street is being constructed, I guess, I don't know. I have to find a way to be happy in other realms than art. And I never found that way. I don't really like people all that much anymore. I don't really enjoy their company. I don't really want to drink, that's the thing. That seems to be the point of a lot of it. I could go without drinking forever. But have I changed dependencies? I made a strong effort to get LSD. Well, I knew I had to. Twice last week, two different fish shows. The thing I think is that to something different. There really aren't all that many of them. Committed to something different puts you at odds with others. Because you have this thing that you always want to be about in one way or another. And most people don't press that hard most of the time for anything. And there's the disappointment of preaching, because people will listen, and they'll listen enthusiastically, but you don't see results. You don't see them pick up the flaming sword themselves. It's almost as though they're reassured that you're holding the fucking flaming sword in their name. They said this program about the Kennedy family. It's called The Curse of Power, and it I was typing and listening while it was going on, watching it a little bit. No one's privileged enough to cause harm on purpose to others, for whatever cause. But some people do press the gas pedal harder than others, and they pay a higher price, and they're accorded a greater, make friends and make enemies. I feel in an obscure way I'm like that. They've made so many fucking friends and enemies, and I look at the people around me, and I made no enemies. Who are their enemies? I've been feeling old for a while, and I think my body's been responding to that. And I think in part it's because I feel I was denied the pleasures of youth. And people are still having those pleasures all the time. And I haven't yet gained anything from not being young yet. I don't know what one gains. I guess what I can think is, when I was in Connecticut, I felt I was in a place where I couldn't accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. I couldn't bust out and begin to realize myself. And now I feel that way about Boston. So I'm unhappy, but I don't know where to go. I think to myself, go west. I think to myself all the time. Get there, I don't know. What part of the West, I don't know. Timetable, I don't know. But surely it's going to come down to that. Going to squander many more years waiting for it to happen here. More later.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 Juzuif Commander Q.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
Commander Q. Strange.
and spirit and
It's July 23rd, 2000, about 12:45 a.m., leaving the Malden Center T station. struck with a really strange thought on the train. That I want to follow through on. At least to talk about it for a bit. It occurs to me that there's very little most people can do to me by way of harm. There was this woman on the train. She was somewhat attractive, but her face was pretty serious. She wasn't smiling, she wasn't peaceful. Brunette. I couldn't really tell her age. I guess from the Maybelline cosmetics ads sticking out of her bag, she'd be the 16 to 30 age group. Probably neither the top or the bottom of that range either. Anyway, I was looking at her and she wasn't looking back at me, and how often taking a piss against the dental center across the street from the T station. Favorite late night pissing spot of mine. I like trying to damp down as many little squares or whatever the hell they are against the walls I can. And so I was looking at her and she wasn't returning my look, and how many thousands of fucking times did this happen? When suddenly I realized that if you're not going to look at me, you're not going to interact with me, you're not going to acknowledge me, then you don't matter to me. I mean, you can't do anything to me. You can't do anything new. You can't do anything different. By not acknowledging my presence, you've done your worst. That's the worst possible thing you can do to me. If you any way engage me, even negatively, that would be not quite as bad as just ignoring my existence completely. And when you look at someone, you can sense when they're not looking back, because there's a kind of a, I don't know what it is, but people do look back. I think it's a natural, almost animal thing that when you're being looked at, you, by someone or something, somewhere, you intently, more than a few seconds, some kind of deliberate gaze your way, you respond to it. Often we respond to them unconsciously. We don't do it initially as a will thing. We just sort of, our heads flick in the direction of the attention. And so when someone doesn't do that, and the distance is not that far, and there's no impediment in the way, when it's just obvious that that person is overridden instinct, that's it. That's as bad as it gets. There isn't anything worse. There really isn't. And I started smiling, and I closed my eyes, and I put on the radio on my Walkman, and I just started smiling, knowing, mind you, that this was not part of the fucking plan. And then I stood up and I went over to the door, and I don't know, I felt a moment of freedom. I felt a moment of real fucking freedom. Because when I see beauty, even if it's beauty contained in a package that contains a consciousness that doesn't want to have anything to do with me, I nonetheless feel compelled to respond to it. And when I get that reaction, that conscious refusal to acknowledge my look, my glance, or whatever, it hurts. After all these fucking years, it still hurts. And in a way, when I started smiling, it was a way of responding to that. To the pain of just being ignored. The rejection that is part of that. It was good. It was something. It clued me in. I don't really know what it clued me into. And I don't really know if it was that happiest of smiles. But in a way, it was. It was a happier of smiles. Because I chose it. I chose it against lesser, or I should say more negative, more common, more almost trained, ingrained responses. I chose to act freely. I think the part of people that dominates most of us, all of us at times, and most of us most of the time, is our animal instinct, the herd mentality, the will to survive and such things. Most of the time we don't act freely. Most of the time we don't act according to a singular consciousness that has come into being and has grown and progressed and whatever over the course of time. No, most of the time, most of our behavior is not our own. It's a capitulation. And I fought against this for years, and I've got more and more tired of it. But I don't know, maybe I've gotten through to something. I don't even know what. What have I gotten through to? What does this mean? This adds up to what? That in the future when I look at pretty girls and they don't look back at me, I smile at them and that gives me some kind of good feeling? I mean, it's not anything in itself per se, but it's not nothing. It's something. It's my own thought. It was my reaction. It wasn't the usual thing where I just happen to be playing the role, but it doesn't really need me. None of it. It's all irrelevant to who or what I am that is unique. So, that's why it had value. My Orpheus book. The critical juncture when Orpheus turns back on the path and looks at Eurydice just before he could have had her again, it's an act of free will. It's the one moment in the whole story when he does something that is truly his own choice. He decides that he decides to embed all of his love in a gesture that will ultimately destroy him. But for a moment, he's free. My kid Al Street, by the way. No. The urge for freedom, the urge to be truly connected with the place and the time and the situation that's one is in, is such a strong one. It is what fights the animal herd mentality. The urge of the individual, that moment of freedom, that moment of choice when all arrows point one direction and a person goes a different direction. And so often, that leads to suffering and disaster. But, I don't know, there's something in it that's, it's as attractive as the desire to merge facelessly into the crowd. I saw this long program about the Kennedy family today, and the reason given in this program that President Kennedy's motorcade is his car in Dallas in November 63, the reason why the top was down and he and Governor Connally and his wife, Mrs. Kennedy rather, was the reason why they were all exposed to sniper fire, to assassins of any kind. Apparently had to do with his belief that you have to make eye contact with the people that you represent, with potential voters, with the constituents. You have to if you can make eye contact with a mother and a child, there's some kind of moment, historical moment, that bonds you with the two of them and assures you more of a vote because it's historical, it's meaningful, it adds up to something. He did this in an area of the country where he was very unpopular and he knew there was risks and so on and so forth. But he made that choice. I mean, he made it. And it might have been partly his own fatalism, but he did it. And I don't know, I've been reading and hearing about the Kennedy assassination all my life, and somehow this little tidbit interested me more than, or less anew. I mean, I've seen enough Kennedy assassination conspiracy programs and read things and so on and so forth, but this seemed like this was something that he did consciously that became part of what then thereafter happened, even though it wasn't Oswald, it was a bunch of people, it was a conspiracy to kill him, and not alone, not as they originally claimed. But the point of it is that his volition in the whole thing, his decision to be in Dallas, his decision to go in an open motorcade, I mean, it seemed like a lot of the root of his motorcade and all was changed and so on and so forth. And there isn't a lot in what one hears about what choices Kennedy made that had to do with how he ended up where he ended up when he was shot. That spot in that particular road, in that particular car with the top down and all. And this was something. So, it's tiring just talking about all this. I mean, I live alone. I owe the government tons of money. I haven't held the hand of a girl I was in love with, who was in love with me, in over 10 years. Things since have been, well, not wrong, but not right either. Nearing the end of Canal Street, looking back, pausing. This is the first of, 22nd, 29th, 5th, 12th, 19th. I guess it's the beginning of 5 weekends when I'm hoping that Saturday will find me at a movie theater, and then late that night coming home, and then I tripped some today. I think that, I don't know, being sick or whatever affected it, but whatever. The point of the matter is that today was a pretty good day. I caught up my journal. I finished number 293 of Bags and News. That's 5 issues this year, which means that it's out of, by the end of this year, 16 years of it being in existence. It will not be the worst year. That would be 99. And it will not be the second worst year, which would be, I think, 98. I'm not sure about that. And if I can write a few more, then it'll climb up a little further, too. So, you know, I guess I'm in a good mood to think these kind of thoughts. I have all sorts of little physical ailments. I remember speaking into this machine a few months ago saying, I have a job, I have a home, I have my health, and I have art, and I have people who love me. And now there are all these little health ailments I have that I think they have partly to do with the summer, when I seem to always come down with shit. Traveling, but living alone, living poorly in certain ways, health and diet. But a lot to do with my job. Yet another job where, because I come to loathe it, it takes its toll on me physically, and eventually I start collapsing, which is pretty strange for someone so big as me. People don't think of someone as big as me collapsing, but, well, whatever happens, whether people think about it or not, doesn't matter what they think, really, in the face of fact. Entering Bell Rock Cemetery. I know, hello spirits, I know, and I've said over and over, that my greatest defense, psychologically and in any other way, really, against despair and doom and, I don't know, everything, fuckage of every kind, is doing my work. That's what I have as my greatest defense. There isn't anything else. There are people who care about me, but I just wrote this in my notebooks. It's funny, I'm repeating something that I wrote down, and I'm saying it, but it's true. There's nobody in my life on a daily basis. Nobody who really gives a fuck. Nobody in the flesh. Nobody I see. Nobody I can depend upon. I'm alone. I haven't seen Rick in Montana in almost 3 months. He's made no effort to contact me, and I sent him a cynical, and he didn't respond to it. So, I didn't take that well. I still don't take that well. Over a month and a half later, it pisses me off that I sent that to him and he didn't respond to it in any way. I'm assuming he got it. And even if he didn't get it, I mean, he either didn't respond to that package, or he just hasn't responded, period. Stars are out, moon is half full. Heard a lot today. Today was good. I feel like I want to type on. enemy spirits. It's been a good day and I want to continue it. I have to continue it. I have 5 weeks in which to get together everything that needs to be gotten together for my trip out to Nevada. No fucking around at all. Wow, it's kind of creeping me out. It's through. I've been creeped out by the Bellrock Cemetery in years. I guess it's just because I haven't passed through at 1 a.m. in a while. It's been a long day. Tomorrow I want to focus on my radio show. There is also that barbecue of provisors. I should probably consider going to that. Yeah, I really should pull up the name and I'll put up the address and all that. Who knows? I'm always thinking about what might be, but if nothing else, I show up, show my support, keep my radio spot. I'm hoping that tomorrow is the first of 5 consecutive broadcasts, which I haven't managed to pull off at all since jumping stations. I've done 5 shows in the past, April, May, June, July. 5 shows in 3 months. That's like 5 shows over the course of 12 to 14 weeks. Not that good, but I'm trying. I start trying tomorrow, I really do. I'm gonna play Neil Young, I think. I'm gonna read one more little essay from the 1964 LSD book before moving on to something else. Finally, read some poetry, maybe read the Burning Man thing. I don't know, try and have a good show, basically. So, I guess that's it. I'm gonna keep smiling in the face of muteness. Maybe it's just the beginning of an idea or a theory or something, I'm not sure. Anyway, more soon.
Sanyo X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
Sanyo X with Commander Q.
And spirit and
I'm going to go to the next one.
Sunday, July 23rd, 2000, and I'm leaving over an hour ahead of schedule for my radio show. I guess I'm just slightly paranoid that something will go wrong, so gonna go wrong. I don't want it to go wrong when I arrive at 5 or later. It's gonna go wrong. I'm gonna have time to deal with it and hopefully be able to deal with it, and hopefully even more there won't be a problem. This is my 6th show on Alston Brighton Free Radio and my 50th overall, which is pretty cool. Began typing 36 nocturnes today. And that was cool. I typed 9 of them. Cemetery.
Hi.
Hi.
What you doing?
Photographing, reading, and mapping your cemetery.
Cool.
It's a historic cemetery. It should be done.
It's a wonderful cemetery.
It is. You don't often find graves back to the 1600s.
No, not at all.
So I just thought it should be done.
Do you ever have a chance to walk through here at 1 in the morning? It's really very spiritual. Have a nice day. Bye. Malden theory. Hee hee. Much tape left. Well, this tape is done. I'm so glad I snagged that little bit with that lady I just talked to. That was cool. But, otherwise, I guess that's it for this tape. Sunny day walking down Canal Street. Got work to do. Every day of the week. Hopeful, at least right now.
It is Saturday, February 19th, 2022, at 11:26 p.m. Bungalow C, Attic Steady, with Table, Melrose, Massachusetts. I haven't recorded in several days. Work and I did my show in the early, and today, after getting all the radio work done of Need, we watched Marvel's Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings of Power, which is from last year. It's kind of their Phase 4 Marvel movies that I think began with Black Widow, which was presumably Scarlett Johansson's last movie as Black Widow. It's kind of elegiac. Well done. This new one, I think there's been a couple since, but this new one since that one. I mean, I was kind of nonplussed by it. I don't think that it was anything special. It was well made, but it wasn't special. It wasn't memorable. I'm not really sure why. But it felt kind of like it felt to me like it was an obligatory Asian Marvel movie, like
Captain Marvel is the obligatory female Marvel movie. And on the one hand, that's great and overdue. 4,001, 5,001, 6,001, 7,001, 8,001, 9,001, 10,001.
These movies feel kind of calculated. I didn't think Brie Larson was all that interesting in Captain Marvel, and I don't think that the guy that was the lead in this movie was all that interesting. They had their black superhero entry, Black Panther, but some reason that lingers with me, I think it was the casting, even though unfortunately the guy who played Black Panther, I believe, that has passed, so no more him. It's just sometimes these later movies feel kind of, they don't feel as ambitious, and I'm not really sure why. I'm not sure what is the difference, but they don't feel as much as though there's as much at stake in each one. They just feel next. That's all. They feel next. I think that we've yet to see the Eternals, and I believe that there's a new Spider-Man. So maybe one or both of those will cross whatever line I'm demanding to be impressed by Marvel movies. But I did used to love them, and now I like them, but just not well. Anyway, long weekend, Monday off from work, and so tonight gets to be a long writing night, and I haven't really got that deep into it. I caught up my journal. I have the secret book to do next, and then I get into Labyrinthine, Bags of News, Many Musics. As far along as I can go in terms of wakefulness. So, there'll be more of this later. I don't know if it will be tonight or soon or soonish, but more soon. Testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3. Alright. It is Monday, February 21st, 2022, at 6:21 p.m., Bungalow C, Attic Study, Work Table, Mount Rose, Massachusetts, and after a nice long Valentine's Day weekend, as we styled it, fixing to go back to work tomorrow. She can be working out in the world, as has been rare for a very long time, especially since I've been at the current place. But Cassie is now working once a week at her office for her job, and so it seems like maybe I don't have an office to go to per se, as she does, though I could go into the workplace, but I tend to go to coffee shops and things, so I might go to one of those. And I'm about to dive into more pages of Labyrinthine, which are going to strangely cross with the Creature Tale. And I guess from a publication point of view, the Labyrinthine I published all of,
except for the pages since the last Seneca in December. It will be the next Seneca in April. The creature tale has not really directly appeared in publication anywhere. It's been mentioned in my other works, certainly, but I haven't quite found a form to make its publication occur right now. I tell it on my other voice journal tape recorder nightly during the week, and I write up notes on those tellings in the secret books, which are also not published anywhere. There's been 19 of those currently in the volume 19. So, the creature tale is the most obscure of the major projects of mine so far. But that's not stopping me from crisscrossing these two. And that's kind of fun. I was sitting here stuck, and then I was reviewing my secret book notes for new creature tale tellings later tonight, and then it occurred to me, as I opened up my labyrinthine volume, I could cross the two as part of the Great Grand Rated Narrative. These two of the six are going to cross, and they're going to start crossing with what I write in the next stretch of time, and later on with what I tell in the creature tale. Intriguing, and I don't know what will come of it, but it's like, what I wanted to say about this is that I was looking for something that fit in my mind as the next thing to write, and I think that that's hard. It's challenging for even someone like me. I say even because I do this, I've done this for years and years and years on a daily basis, crisscrossing things and coming up with stuff out of my own mind that I like, whether I don't think everybody else likes them or understands them or whatever, but like, I'm satisfied with how I do what I do, but even I reach a moment where I have to just stop and just kind of mull for a while. But I imagine for people who are not as ambitious for as long as I have been, their ambitions are either over a shorter period of time, or they're not, they're lesser ambitions so far, excluding what they might become, it'd be even harder. It's hard to sing your song in your voice. And you can do it once, you can do it twice. To do it on and on is a challenge. And it's where art and craft and, I don't know, I sometimes call it luck, I guess it could also be called magic cross. But it's also patience and attention and just wanting to do it and not wanting to not do it. Wanting to do it more than the effort, wanting to do it more than the effort it takes to get it done. The effort is worth it, and so on. So, but it's not easy, and I guess the last thing I'll say is I think that most writers, many writers, seem to depend exclusively on their own life, their own biography, what they write about. This is even especially more true with poets. And it runs out eventually. It runs out. I think that's a challenge. It runs out. You've said everything you have to say, and then you're scrounging to say new things. But the world is bigger than any one person's biography. And from an artistic point of view, the world is available to everyone. The waking world, the dreaming world, other kinds of worlds. And I think that art, ferment in one, responds the more you give it, the more of a playing field, the more kinds of playing fields you give it, the more possibilities you present, the more mysteries you dig into. And starting and stopping with your own self is, I think, is limiting. I think it's honestly limiting, because none of us are worlds of one. We are ones of the world. And sometimes it seems, when one's living one's life, that for reasons, struggle, and so on, that the world reduces down to one's own struggles and worries and fears. But that is not the entirety of the world. And an artist, I believe, should open the doors, as many possible doors, as many doors as possible, to what else can flow in and out of one's creating soul. Anyway, where'd that come from? Well, it came from the fact that I post Scriptor Press stuff on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and I see kind of the same literary journal and writer stuff posted over and over and over again, and it seems like there's a solipsism that comes with creating art, that it can be a great tool, it can be a place of inspiration, but I believe it's neither the beginning nor the end of things. And I believe that the more one flings the doors open, I'm now repeating myself, the better. But that's where it came from, seeing that stuff over and over again. And not even knowing how to encourage people to reach beyond themselves. Not even know. I don't know. I don't have the right, eloquent, insightful, convincing words to do so. I just know it's worth doing, and I know it takes extra work to write down something that it essentially is not your own immediate feelings about something. That's easy for but I don't think it should begin or end there. Just, and that could just be me, and maybe it certainly is me, but I don't think it's just me. I don't think this truth is one that is just mine. I think this is a truth that has wider application than just me. So, okay. Now I'm going to get to what I said I was going to get to. So, more later.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 Jesuí fica Commander Q.
I'm going to go to the next one.
All right, it is Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. At 4:23 p.m. I'm walking down Derby Road, Milkers, Massachusetts. First after work clock in a week that I have been introduced to this.
Hello.
So there have been entries of this volume since then. A long way. It's a pretty nice day out, actually. Hello. Hello. Hi. It's pretty mild. It's about 60 degrees. And it's like a late winter day that has a little bit of spring sunniness and warmth to it. Still have a jacket on and a hat, but it's getting there. So today was the first day back at work. Second day back at work at home at the UFC Tower, per usual. I was doing this I have many sort of archiving projects, press projects that I do along the way of doing new things, and one of them, which I resumed today after a few weeks not, is the samplers, the Scripture Press samplers, of which there are 19 complete, one in process and several due. They're posted on the Lecture Lounge, scripturepress.com, but they're not posted so that you could just go to their individual pages and read them right there if you wanted to. They're posted such that you would have to download the PDF there, which is free and easy to download and whatnot, but there's this website that we use called Publitas, which allows you to have a nice reading format for reading a journal online. If you didn't want to download it, you just wanted to click on the link and have it open before you. And so I've been slowly but surely getting various publications that do not have this additional reading convenience on them, getting that code in there to apply it. Just a matter of some code update, real super easy, and then doing the promotion of them part and parcel. And since I started doing From Scripture Press Archives type of postings on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, this kind of work fits in perfectly. It's a nice way to promote old publications, get them some fresh eyes, maybe eyes that never would have seen them, and attention that they deserve as part of the overall publication library. And so this one was today's, where I resumed, was number 9, which was the annual for 2007. So almost halfway through doing them. I think I had this general idea recently of posting them once a week, and that would eventually get up to the current one without having them be posted so often that they just become just too many of them at once. You should each have a stretch of attention just to their own, where they become part of a larger ongoing pool. So that was a good thing to do. 36X, the current next number of that show, I'm not sure, I think it's number 29. The last one was the first time it survived Boisterous Style. And this one, the new one I'm working on, goes back to the original one of them. I think working off of volume 28 or 27. So I'm still only just past halfway the number of them that there were. And so there's still some more to go. And then there's other random cassettes of things I'd like to introduce into the 36X mix over the course of time. And it's funny that up until I started doing the reviving the classic version, it was mostly just digitizing them, which I'd long done, had them even. And then since 90 minutes out of 2 hours leaves a little bit of extra, throwing in some songs of some kind. And it was real simple. And naturally I complicated it by wanting to do more of them and getting those into it and getting those into it now. And I'm thinking maybe I alternate between the new ones and the past ones at this point. The last go round, it was a combination of both, but I thought that would be fun. I was imagining being a listener and I'm just listening along this show, this guy talking from 20 some years ago, and suddenly there he is talking from 2 weeks ago on the same show. But I guess that doesn't necessarily work every time. It's not like that has to be the new format rigidly. Mailing mails for Cassie, she asked me. We are now again registered to vote, and taxes owed, check is sent along, so that's all good. Let's see how much is left on this. Goodly amount. So, it was funny, I was listening to, I guess it was June 2000, which I did a lot of recording during Traveling the Fish Show, the shows. Also, I was passing through Connecticut to and from Chicago, and I recorded the full length of a tarot card reading that my friend Mark Shred did for me at Zando's Cafe in Hartford. Zando's Cafe, long come and gone, and Mark Shred I haven't really been friends with meaningfully for, not more than a couple of years after after that tarot reading, sad to say. There's only maybe a couple years later at most that he had a stroke that felled him, and he also began his transition, as they call it, to being a woman, which I didn't understand and I really didn't like and I really didn't approve of for him, and I don't know, given how the world has evolved since then regarding matters of transgender, I don't think I was ready for it. I don't think I asked the right questions. I don't think he explained it to me well. And I just don't think that I wish I'd handled it better. Just put it like that. I mean, he was going to do what he was going to do. And I could have been a far more supportive friend of him doing that. And it's funny how you think about things in the moment. You're making your decisions based on what you know and what you feel, what you think, what your opinions are. You know, just the general environment within and without you. And then some years later, you look at the same set of questions, and maybe your reaction is virtually the opposite. What could I have done for him to support him in going through that change? I don't know. I urged him over and over again to get counseling to see if it was really right for him. I don't think I just told him it was evil or satanic or a sin or stupid or something, but I don't think I handled it well. I'm not gonna give myself any kind of excusing out. I wish I'd been more supportive of friends. I've been in situations where I was the one who was not supported, where someone else let me down. Reasons that seemed to be probably the thing to do at the moment. I don't know if, given one instance or another, they later regretted what they did, what they said, didn't say, or didn't do. But this is a situation where I could have been more supportive. I could have been more understanding. And it wasn't. Mark, I guess you're now Emily. I would say to you now that I am sorry. And should we ever tell you I'm sorry, I will tell you that my understanding of such things is not that it's a lot more now, but it's some, and my sympathy and my willingness to see a wider spectrum of possibility of human identity, I think I've widened my view at least somewhat, and I think I understand a little bit better, and I wish I had been there to support you then, instead of all these years later, long us not in touch, saying to you now, I'm sorry, but it's true. It's a fact, and I say, I'm sorry. So sampler 9 and radio June 2000. I mean, if I just push aside the more sad days that came later between us and for him, it was fun. We were good friends, and he was very supportive of me, and I was supportive of him. I think we had a long, long, long stretch as good friends. I think by June of 2000, we've been friends for, I don't know, 15 years maybe. There we were at this coffee house, and I was trying to figure out my life. Romantic life wasn't going very well. Job I wasn't very happy with. Lack of direction. I'd been out of graduate school for 6 months, I think, after being in school, in graduate school, on and off for 18 years. I was finally done. And
was go on pitch tour. I didn't really want to work. I didn't like the job I was working. I mean, it piled up money because my budget was so low and meager. But I just wanted to go on pitch tour. And I was full of early fish tour fires and early Burning Man fires, and that's what I wanted to do. And I didn't want to do any of this working 8 hours a day, 2 hours a day getting there and back. I mean, it was just all tiring and lonely and unpleasant. But I stayed at that job, strangely, until they laid me off the following April. So there was June 2000, and 10 months later, I'd still be there until they gave me my walking papers. Interestingly, though, speaking of 2000 and college, my student loan, which I first got in 1992 as a way to get to Boston and out of Connecticut, and borrowed a bunch of money to go to Northeastern, and borrowed a bunch of money to go to Emerson College, been paying off better and worse for 30 years today. Last $15,000 of it paid off in one lump sum. I now owe $0 to students. They're done. They're over. I'm free and clear of them for the first time in 30 years. And so it took me 30 years to pay off the loans I took to move up here. And I've been living here minus I guess 7 years in the middle there. I've been living here around here in Metro Boston for 23 of those 30 years. So, but that's going to be nice because the paycheck I'm getting for my work starting next week full time is going to be a little bit less. The amount of money I'm spending is super completely covers that gap. We're making the same amount. That'll be full time, not with no contracting anymore. And other good things. So that was another good thing that happened to me. I'm going to end up in the attic. Study in a couple of minutes, resume work on various things. Yesterday was a kind of a lost day for me, kind of a wasted one, but today's some better, and that's my wish for it all, is just do better today. Doing better today. I think that's it for now. Oh, and Cassie's going to give me these little stickers so I can, little colored stickers, one kind for the Voice Journal classic tapes, new classic tapes, and one kind for the Voice Journal future tapes, both of which go on a daily basis. And I wouldn't be able to really distinguish them very well except by something visual. So I'm going to have little stickers to do that. So that's a nice thing. As this project continues to go along, it continues to find new nooks and crannies of interest to while I pursue. Okay, that's it for now. It's still February 23rd, 2022. It's 5:54 p.m. on Blue Sea at a study work table in Elkhurst, Massachusetts. I've been doing what I do often, which is make lists of work to do, trying to organize things in my mind. And so, I'm going to be going down to Britain for the first time since before the pandemic started, which was 2 years ago. I actually went down in 2019. I didn't go 2020 at all, or 2021. These trips to New Britain are very specifically work-focused. writing focused. I go down there to write, and to edit, and to read to a certain degree. And they do it at the hotel in downtown New Britain, which I think is a, I don't know what it's called now, Dunkin' Donuts, aka the People's Donut Shop, Capital Lunch, New Britain Library. Sometimes I go out to the mall. I often go to Hartford. I don't like the New Hartford Library that they rebuilt from the ground up, but sometimes I end up there too. And I've just been thinking about the work I'm going to do that long weekend down there. I'm going to work on radio and getting content listened to for the 6 weekends to come following that weekend off. I'm going to write Labyrinthine, I'm going to write Bags of News, I'm going to write Many Musics, I'm going to do something with the Creature Tale other than tell it, something with the Hero's Adventures, something other than tell it, and something with Dream Maps. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with those, but they're on my list. I'm going to work on Sample 119 for April, 120 for June, particularly for April, the Dream Wraps for Swillage Notebooks for 2021, that'll be line 11, and the History of Scripture Press, I'm going to cover November 2012 to April 2013 in the April issue. That's the last 6 months we lived in our book. And then 120, I'm going to try and work on April 2013 to December 2014. I don't know if that's possible, but that's a year and a half, but it would bring me only 8 years behind. It'd be nice. And also possibly for Swillage Notebooks, the second part of my Burning Man piece, which the first of which was in the October 2021 issue. If by when the June issue is coming, we have tickets, we have a plan, it'll be very interesting to write a second part, because the first part was written almost entirely about 99, when it was much less certain that we'd be going this year. So I'm kind of letting that linger as hopeful possible. I'm thinking I want to do all 4 samplers that will catch up the series. That'd be 20, 21, 22, 23. If I can do that, then and put them out, distribute them associated with each 4 of the 4 samplers this year, then it'll be caught up for the first time in 5 years maybe. Burning Man books. I need to bring the contents from my 6 books. I need to decide, and I need to bring the contents that I don't have, and I need to read part of that weekend. And Ray books. There are so many Ray books I want to publish with so many people I put in the sample, but I've decided, honestly, with all this other stuff, I think I want to devote my Ray books work that long weekend to Jim's book. I want to bring everything with me that I can and hopefully work on it beforehand, and I want to finalize it. So that's what I've been thinking about since I've been up here for the first time this week during the work week. And I've got to earn even being able to go on that trip by having much more ready and prepared than I do now. So between now, which is the 23rd, and then, which is March 4th, I need to get a bunch of stuff done and ready and prepared and so on and so forth. So that's what's on my mind. Now I'm going to write Bags of News for a while and Labyrinthine. That's what I do. I work, I create, I write. That's like how my mind works at its best. I will say, addition to that, I'm greatly looking forward to taking the Greyhound, going to South Station with my blue suitcase, taking the Greyhound down, thinking of Jim as I arrive at the Hartford bus station, checking into the New Britain Hotel, taking the speedy bus line, going to my old haunts, seeing that they're still there post-pandemic, and doing all this work. Work in my mind is not like drudgery or negative or working my mind is equivalent at its best of play. So, anyway, more later. One of many commercials I hear many, many times on the Dreamland Jazz Station on the Attic Radio. Just a few minutes after the last entry, 6:24 p.m.
But at one point,
The self disappears, but no other self appears to occupy the empty space it has left. No God. but rather the divine, the primordial feeling that sustains all of us, and creates peace in the crater of all creation, a reconciliation of man.